And if you would please turn over to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Way back in the Old Testament, book of Moses, the fifth book of Moses, which is the fifth book of the Pentateuch. So it's the book of Deuteronomy. And we're going to look into chapter 8 today. Since the Christian is dead unto the world and alive unto God, does that mean that he or she may live as he or she desires? Do we teach, as some do, that we're free to do whatever we like and that without any repercussion? Are we, as some would claim, antinomian, that is, a lawless people? Or does the Bible address Christian conduct and mode of living? Although we oppose legalism, don't we embrace godly rules and divine guidelines? Well, our text will indicate which way is right. By the way, it's the latter. For context for our passage we're looking at in Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Israelites are at Mount Nebo, awaiting entrance into the promise of, into the promised land. And remember that Israel is God's chosen people, and they were brought out of Egypt 41 years earlier. The end of their wilderness wanderings are nearly over, and they're poised to receive their inheritance. Joshua will soon lead them across the Jordan River. And yet before they go, and before he dies, Moses exhorts the nation. As we enter into this passage, I think it is necessary to remind you that Egypt is a type of the world. Therefore, as the Jews exited Egypt and were set free from the world, Christians are also taken out of the world. However, just as the Jews were not beyond the circumstances of this life, so it is for the Christian. Although we are saved, we are still surrounded by the experiences of this existence. I submit unto you that the things written to the Jews may often be applied to the Christian. Therefore, we shall see the exhortation that is in this chapter concerning Jewish life after Egypt and for the life in the promised land which is to come is closely related to the saved person who is still in this world, but not of it. It is then my objective to apply the lessons found in this chapter. Therefore, I have entitled the message, The Christian Exhorted. And so the title today, The Christian Exhorted, here out of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. And Lord, we pray for those who could not be with us, that you would bless them and heal the sick. And those who are traveling, watch over them. And Lord, we just honor you today. And Lord, thank you for your word and how you preserved it for us and how we can read it, we can study it, and we can know what happened and what you've done, but also what you're doing and what you're going to do. And Lord, help us to be good students of your word. And so we ask that as I preach that which you've laid upon my heart to these people today, I pray that you would just speak through me and use me for your name's sake. I ask that you would speak to every heart. We pray for those that are lost that they might be saved, and we who are saved that we would be exhorted as your people. And so help us to learn and to glean from your passage today. And we just ask for your direction, and we commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to think about, as Moses speaks to the nation of Israel, and take some of that application and bring it right home to you and to me. So let's notice, first of all, in verse 1 down through verse 10, we are to remember. First of all, notice in verse 1, the Israelites are exhorted to keep God's commandments. Verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And so Moses says, now listen, I want to remind you about God's commandments. You need to keep the Lord's commandments. And if you'll notice in the verse, he says that you are to observe to do. And by that, I understand and I take it to mean that there's a knowledge of and a response to God's commands. In other words, some people, they know, but they just never do. He wants them to not only know about it, but to do it. Observe to do. Be aware, put it into practice. And you know, that's good counsel for you and me, isn't it? I mean, to know the Word of God, it's good to have an understanding, but we also need to put it into practice. Now, Moses tells them that there are three things that are promised unto them if they would do that. You see in verse 1 that they may live and multiply and go in and possess the land. I would think of it this way, when he says that you may live. Well, that would refer to God's protection and grace of life. I mean, enemies are surrounding them on every side. It wouldn't take much for God to withdraw his hand of grace and the enemies just to destroy them, and they'd be wiped off from the face of the earth. And so Moses said, you keep the commandments of God that you may live, that God will continue to protect you and give you life. Also then to multiply, and I believe this is a reference to God's blessings and the prosperity upon the nation of Israel. And then thirdly, he says that you may enter in or possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, and that is that God's promises would be fulfilled unto them. And so as they are to remember, we are to remember. They are to keep the commands. Verse 2 through verse 4, the Israelites are told to remember what God has done. Look at it. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. And so Moses says, I want you to remember the commandments of God. I want you to remember what God has done for you. And take note that God was actively involved with the children of Israel. God had done so many grand things for them. I mean, you can go back to what God had done for them and the plagues upon Egypt and granting them release. And then as they went through the wilderness, all these things. He says, you need to remember what God has done for you. Now, the purpose for that was to be a revelation in three ways. And that was, you'll notice in the middle of verse 2, that God did all these things for them to humble thee, to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart. I noticed those words, to humble them. And so to humble thee, it's to humble the children of Israel. And I see that God had worked in their midst those 40 years for the effect of that they would look to him, that they would depend upon him. So he brought them through the wilderness to humble them, also to prove them. That's what you see in the second portion. And of course, the word prove is to test. And that testing would be for their benefit, to humble thee, to prove thee, and then to know what was in thine heart. That is, that they would know what's in their heart, that they would know their own motives. I would not for any instance consider that, well, God had brought this through so that he could be educated, so that he could learn how they might respond. I don't believe that for a second. God always knows the heart of every man, not only what would be done, but what might be done. And God has complete knowledge. So God didn't bring them through the wilderness so that he would know what was in their hearts, so that he would be informed about it. But rather, I think that they would know what was in their heart and the motive of which they did, of why they did what they did. And so he says, you need to remember everything that God has given and done for you through this wilderness. And those three things was to humble them, to prove them, and to know them. And then what he did for us in the text, he gave us two examples. And what he spoke about was the miraculous provision of manna. And I hope that you remember a little bit about how God provided manna for them in the wilderness, that heavenly bread. And then the miraculous provision of clothing. And we read that in verse 3 and verse 4, manna in verse 3, and the clothing in verse 4. We talk a lot about the manna, and we know the other references in the scripture regarding manna. You know, not very many people catch on to verse 4, that the raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. You know what? Their clothes did not wear out. As they traveled through the wilderness, God provided for them and protected them and allowed the clothes. They didn't become threadbare. They stood, and their foot, their shoes, they didn't wear out. They always had food and clothing. Now, there are some lessons that the children of Israel were to learn from all these things. And these lessons I just submit to your understanding here is that, first of all, God did not forsake them in their journeys. God was with them despite the hardness of their heart. Number two, God allowed afflictions and trials. We know that to be true. Go back and read their trips through the wilderness wandering. It wasn't easy. There's no bed of roses there. You say, but they were God's people. Yeah, but it was tough. God allowed afflictions and trials to come upon them. Then, number three, we find that God showed them their inability. It was to humble them. God let those things happen to humble them so that they would not be self-dependent. They would not see themselves as self-sufficient. God showed them their inability. And then we also know that God provided for them what they could not provide. How do you feed a nation? And God gave them bread every morning, flesh in the evening. How could they provide all the clothing? Well, the clothes just didn't wear out. God provided what they could not. And then in the fifth aspect, God is their true resource. And that's what they needed to learn. And Moses says, you need to remember. Remember that God didn't leave you. Remember that God provided for you. Remember that God is your true resource. And I direct your attention back to verse 3, by the way. The latter part of that verse, because he's in reference to the manna, he says that he did this that man may know that he does not live by bread alone or bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You see, it's God's way. It's God's will. That's the most important thing. The bread is secondary. God is the one who is our resource. By the way, I trust that you remember that Jesus quoted these verses when he was in the wilderness and he was being tried by the devil, and the devil tempted him to turn the stones into bread. And he says that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how we shall live. And so we must always keep the right priority. And so Moses causes them to remember the commandments of God, causes them to remember what God has done for them. Notice then in the verse 5 and verse 6, the Israelites are told to remember God's chastening hand and the effect of a godly walk. Verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Remember what God has done. Remember that God will punish. God will chasten. Then look into verse 7 through verse 10. Again, things that they should remember. The Israelites are told to remember what God is doing for them. By the way, there's a difference, isn't there? To remember what God has done and to remember what God is doing. Look at it in verse 7. He says, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And what do we find in these verses? We find then that he says that God will do exactly as he said he would. He's going to bring you into this land of promise. And this is a great land. It's a prosperous land. And God's going to give them many provisions and great blessings. It's interesting that he made a statement there that you're going to eat bread without scarceness. And you know, what were they complaining about when God gave them manna, the bread from heaven to begin with? It's because they had no bread. You brought us out of here starving us to death. And God gave them the miracle of manna for that entire wilderness journey. And he said, but when you go into the land, look at how plush this is and bountiful and how great God will supply for you. Don't just remember what he has done, but remember what he's doing right now. Look what lies ahead of you. As soon as you enter into the land, it will be yours. So see, God is still working in there. Missed. And you'll notice as I direct your attention back to verse 10, that they are then to give glory to God. He said, when you get into the land and you've eaten, you're full. Notice the last part of verse 10. Then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. They are to give God the glory. Now Moses, exhorting the people, says there are things you need to remember. You need to remember God's commandments. And you need to remember what God has done. And you need to remember God's chastening hand. But you need to remember what God is doing right now. before we look into the next portion of the scripture as Christians, I think it's necessary for us to remember God's commands. Jesus said over in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I realize we don't believe in legalism. We're not sitting there a list of rules and guidelines and we're going to check it off and that's how you get your righteousness and that's how you're going to get the blessings of God. But the truth of the matter is, you're not going to find in the scripture a lesson that when you're saved, you can just do whatever you want willy-nilly and there's no restraint. It's not there. Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. A little bit further on in that chapter, in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him and will come unto him and will make our abode with him. That doesn't mean we'll be perfect. But you know what? I believe all Christians have a desire to follow Jesus Christ. And I believe that the Spirit of God draws us toward that. And we won't be perfect. We'll still sin. But you know what? We're going to love the things of God. At least to some degree, some aspect, and that ought to grow and that ought to develop. We are to keep His commandments, just like the children of Israel were to keep God's commandments. We should also remember that God chastens His children. If you would, go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Not only in our passage is it mentioned in reference to the temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ and the issue of the bread. You know those verses that we read in our text, verse 5 and verse 6. In Hebrews chapter 12, the author to the Hebrews, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, makes reference to our very text. And this in regard to the matter of discipline or the chastening hand of God. Just notice what the writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And so, Christian, we can learn from this. We ought to remember God chastens us. Hebrews 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he of whom the Father chasteneth not? Frankly, I'm glad that God takes time to chasten me. I'm glad that He pays attention. And when I get out of the way, He can put me bring me back, guide me back in. I'm glad that God cares. You know, we have a generation of young people who have little direction from their parents. They do whatever they want, and a lot of parents just think that they're being free thinkers, and we don't want to manipulate or harm our little child's brain, so we're just going to let them do whatever they please. And you know what? Those kids grow up, those kids that have no instruction, no correction, no discipline, no chastening at all, they grow up believing that their parents do not love them because they never take time to correct them. And generally they're right, because what father or what mother doesn't chasten their children? And that's true among men. And so what we find the lesson is that God, who loves us, will chasten us. And it's necessary for us to remember that. So as Christians, remember, as the children of Israel, remember the commandments and remember that God chastens. But also, I think that we, just like the children of Israel, we should remember what God has done for us. Have you forgotten what God has done for you? Have you forgotten that He saved you? Have you forgotten since that time that He gave you eternal life, all that He's done in your life up to this point? Have you forgotten? Oh, you need to remember. Remember what God has done for you. Moses tells the children of Israel to remember. But not only what God has done for you, but what God is doing for you. I'm so glad that God still works in our hearts, still works in our life. You know what? We have an inheritance that we are waiting for. We're going to see Jesus face to face one of these days. So don't remember just only those things, what He has done, but what He is still doing, that He still works in your heart. And what were the children of Israel to do when they were to enter the land and they would recognize all that God is doing and has done for them? They were to bless God. They were to praise God. And you know what? That's good counsel for you and for me. Let us remember who God is. Let us remember what He has done. Let us remember what He is doing. And let's give Him the praise. And let's give Him the honor. Let's give Him the glory. You see, the Christians are exhorted here in the text, I believe. I know it's Moses to the children of Israel. But they are to remember. We are to remember. Let's look at the second portion of the chapter. And it's verse 11 down through verse 17. Secondly, we are to be ready. And by the word ready, I mean it in the sense of being on guard, of being leery. Be ready. Why? Because this is a warning to the children of Israel. Look at it then in verse 11. They are to be ready. Why? Verse 11, they are to beware that they should not neglect disobedience. Listen, beware, verse 11 says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. It's a simple statement to the children of Israel. Be obedient to God. Don't forget God. Be on guard, lest you forget and you become disobedient. Then notice in verse 12 down through verse 17, the Israelites are told to beware when they prosper, lest they should forget God and be lifted up with pride. Verse 12. Now notice, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this well. What does Moses address to the children of Israel at this time? Well, in verse 11, he says, don't become so forgetful that you become disobedient. And then he says you need to be on guard, you need to be aware, because what will happen is you come into the land, God's going to bless you, God's going to prosper you. So he speaks about the prosperity in verse 12 and verse 13. God has given them many great things. And then in verse 14, he says, and then your heart be lifted up. When things are going good, it's a tendency for the heart to be lifted up. And Moses warns the children of Israel about that. When you're blessed, then your heart's lifted up, and you fall into the area of presumption. And so in verse 14 down through verse 17, from the last part of that verse 14 to the end of our passage, which we just read, we see where that God has done all those great things for them in the wilderness. But what happens when the children of Israel reflect upon it, if they begin to forget and they go away from God, they think that they did it. Look what we have done. Look what we have accomplished. And really what ends up happening is they're going to rewrite history and then take the credit for it. Well, that's a danger, isn't it? And God tells the children of Israel, there are things that they need to remember. And he says, you need to be ready. You need to be on guard. You need to beware. Why? Because you will fall into disobedience and you will be lifted up with pride. As Christians, I just encourage you, I encourage myself, we should beware of our slackness in obedience. It's easy to fall away, isn't it? It's easy to become disobedient. You know, it's not the easiest thing in the world to obey God in every aspect, is it? And so we have that tendency to fall away, don't we? As we sing the song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. As Christians, we ought to be ready, be on guard, lest we would fall into disobedience. We should also beware of our tendency to forget. He says they'll forget. Their heart will be lifted up and they'll forget about God. Because what will happen? Prosperity leads to self-dependency, doesn't it? You know, I've witnessed this through the years in the church. I've seen people that were faithful and true to the God's house while trials and troubles and tribulations were there. And then God would bless them and God would provide for them. And God would open up a door and meet their needs. And you know what? They were not to be seen after that. I've seen it personally through my ministry. And what it is prosperity can destroy you. It can ruin you. And so it just depends what kind of perspective you're going to have upon it. And if you think that you're the one that had produced these things and you become self-sufficient and self-dependent. And so he says, you need to be on guard here, because what's going to happen is your heart's going to be lifted up in verse 14. You're going to forget God, which brought you out of Egypt and brought you through the wilderness and did all these things for you. And you're going to get to the place that you're self-sufficient. You lift it up with pride. And so then what happens is that self-sufficiency leads to that pride. They're full of pride. And then that pride will cause them to forget the true resource. Now it's no more about God. It's all about me. And man just simply likes to take the credit, don't they? We like to say, well, this is what I've accomplished. This is what I've done. And you know what? We have to be very careful about that. And Moses is warning the children of Israel that when you're blessed, you better make sure that you don't start rewriting history and taking the credit. You know, all those things that God did for you in the wilderness, you didn't do it, God did. All the things that God's going to do for you, you're not going to do it, God's going to do it for you. Don't rewrite history. Be ready, be on guard, so that you will not become disobedient, so that you will not take the credit. As a matter of fact, and we're going to look at this verse again, verse 17, in just a moment. But before we do, I believe that we as Christians ought to learn from that, to grow from that, lest we become slack in obeying God, and lest we become forgetful of what God has really done. But I also want to remind you of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. We need to be aware, or beware, because of the devil. The scripture says this: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We have enemies out there on every side, and the devil is on prowl, and he's looking for an opportunity to destroy us. So we need to be aware of him and the dangers of the evil. And just like the nation of Israel failed to take heed, so might we. You know, the scripture says about them that they forgot God their Savior, which done great things for them in Egypt. We marvel at that, but it's so easy to get there, isn't it? God had done so many great things for Egypt, they forgot. And yet that can happen to us. So we must watch out for pride. And Paul warned the Corinthians about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Christian, you've done well in your life. You've had many successes. God has blessed you. Well, take heed lest you fall. Don't take credit. Don't take the praise. Don't twist your arm trying to pat yourself on the back. It all came from God. God's blessed you. God's granted you everything that you need to live right, to be right, to be blessed. Who deserves the honor? Who deserves the glory? God did. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't be lifted up with pride. There's another verse I share with you over in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And what that tells us is you better be careful about that issue of pride. When a person is ensnared in sin, and the word overtaken there is like an animal getting caught in a trap. They weren't looking for it. All of a sudden, boom, they're caught. He says, if a man be overtaken in his fault, ye which are spiritual, you have a spiritual mind, spiritual sense, you do what you can to restore that person, but with meekness. You ever heard those comments from some Christians when they're talking about other Christians who made some poor choices and got caught into things? I'll tell you, sometimes Christians can be pretty ruthless, vicious. You have to be careful. If a man's overtaken in a fault, we have to consider ourselves. We might be tempted. We might fall. Don't be filled with pride. That's the point I want to share with you. Now, what happens to them if you're there in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and in verse 17? Just this reminder. He says, and thou say in thine heart, my power and mine, the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. They got to the place where everything that was good to them, they think they've done it. Boy, that's a real danger. Doesn't that kind of remind you of what you might read over in Isaiah chapter 14 about the devil? Lucifer, in the context, it says, for thou hast said in thine heart, and this is God condemning the devil, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You know, sometimes as Christians, we sound like this. We praise ourselves for all we've done. Look, God, I'm a good Christian. Look at what I've accomplished. We can never take credit for that. All that we are by the grace of God. And God deserves the honor and the glory and the praise for all that He has done and all that He is doing. And we, like the children of Israel, need to remember. We need to remember His commandments. And we need to remember what God has done. And we need to remember that He chastens. And we need to remember what He is doing. If we will remember, then by God's grace, we will be ready. We will be leery. We'll be on guard so that we wouldn't be seduced into thinking, and look at what we've accomplished. That we would not be filled with pride. Well, that leads me to the last portion of our text and the third point of my message, and it is this, verse 18 down through verse 20. If we're told to remember and we're told to be ready, if we will not, we will regret. Look at it first of all in verse 18. The Israelites are exhorted to remember God, their true source. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee wealth, power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. God is the one that has done that. You need to remember that. Then notice verse 19 and verse 20. The Israelites are told that if they forget, they're going to perish. I'll tell you, that they're going to regret it if they won't take heed. They don't remember. They're not ready. They will regret it. Verse 19. And it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. So we see strict statement to the children of Israel about how they're going to regret if they disobey God. Now, as Christians, what can we learn from these things? What can we glean? We must never forget our true source. He went on into verse 18 and said, you need to remember that God, all that you have is given to you by God. You know, sometimes we're self-made men, right? And we lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps and look at what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. I've done this. I've worked hard. But you know what did the Scripture say in verse 18? God has given you this power. It's by His might that you can. You know, really, when you think about it, you might say, I'm successful in business and I'm just a very successful person, and it's because of my brilliance and my intelligence and my decisions and all that I've ever done. And you know what? You better stop to think. Any intelligence you have, any wisdom that you have, was a grace given to you by God. God enabled you to learn those things. God enabled you to apply those things. The health that you have to even be able to go out and to work is a gift from God. The business that God brings to you is a gift from God. Don't you realize any success that you ever have in this life or ever will have in your life is because God has blessed you? It's true, isn't it? Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. God doesn't change. And if there's anything good in my life, anything worthy, anything successful, I can't take the credit for that. God deserves the honor and God deserves the glory. And so we must never forget our true source. God said to the children of Israel, if you forget me, you're going to be lifted up with pride and you're going to go away from me and then I'll judge you. So as Christians, let us never forget our true source. We must remember who we are and whose we are. If we're saved today, we're Jesus Christ. He bought us lock, stock, and barrel. We're bought with a price. Let's remember that we're Christians. Remember who we are and whose we are. And we must remember not to forget. Because to forget will lead us to other gods. It will lead us to ourselves. If you forget the true God and the truth of the Scripture, you're going to follow after false ways. You're going to become self-dependent. To forget will bring God's chastening hand. That's what we read in the Scripture. God chastens whom He loves. To forget brings the removal of God's blessings. God said, you forget me, I'm going to chasten you, I'll take you off the land. I'll remove you from all these blessings. To forget brings judgment. Is that what you really want in your life, dear Christian? Don't you see God exhorting the nation of Israel here through Moses to remember, to be ready so that they will not regret, so that they would not be chastened, so that they would not lose the blessing, so they would not be judged? And by the way, I want to remind you, it talks about there in verse 20 as we finish this passage, talks about how that God will, if they forget God and go away from Him, that God will destroy them as He did the nations before them. When they came in the land of Canaan, they were to destroy everybody, to kill them all. And what God is telling them is, you know what? You can perish off the land too. Well, what's that mean to you and me? I believe that we can have, if I may say it in this expression, and I can't say it any other way, a premature death. You know what it says in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 12? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. He says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or kill off the deeds of the body, you shall live. Personally, how I read that and how I interpret that and an application of our text today, he warned the children of Israel, you depart from God, you forsake the Lord, God will take you from off the land, you'll be destroyed, you'll perish, just like those nations before you. Well, that's a physical thing, of course. Because we who are saved cannot lose our salvation, but you know what? We can lose our life. And God can bring sickness and He can bring devastating illness to us. He can take us from this world. And if we choose, even though we're not debtors to the flesh, to live after the flesh, you know what? If we live after the flesh, the Bible says, ye shall die. And so I think that's a warning to every one of us to, as Christians, to say, you know what? I don't want to forget God. I don't want to neglect Him. I don't want to go my merry way and just believe it was all up to me and all that I've done and I get all the glory and the praise. I think we better rethink that one. Because there's a risk that you'll step into a premature death. Scripture talks about that some people are taken before their time. And so that's a warning to us, isn't it? Well, God used Moses to warn the nation of Israel. So in conclusion, I just simply, you've heard the text and you've heard what I've had to say about this. Concerning Deuteronomy chapter 8, Israel received the exhortation that they were to remember, they were to be ready. If not, they would regret it. And that's just simply true for you and me, for me today. We should remember. We should be ready. And if we choose not to, we'll regret it. So that's a challenge to those of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that we might turn to Him, trust Him, be humbled before Him, lean upon Him. He is our only true resource. And turn to Him for the grace and mercy we need to live for Him day by day. And if you're here and you're lost, I want you to know you can't do anything about that. You're lost. You're undone. You need the Savior. Jesus Christ alone is the Savior. And I know I didn't speak about the gospel today. I didn't speak in an evangelistic sense today. But Jesus alone can give you eternal life, and you can be saved today. If God speaks to your heart, convicts you of your sin, if He's drawing you, then you repent and believe on the Lord. He'll save you. Would you be saved today? Christian, would you, by God's grace, remember and be ready? I pray that you will. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? Appreciate your patience and kindness, and the invitation simply is this, right where you are. God moving in your heart, God speaking to you, you respond to God. You be obedient to Him. If you're lost, that you might be saved. If you're saved, that you might be surrendered, might be faithful. And if you've gotten to the place in your Christian walk that you've kind of been taking credit for all your successes, this would be a great time to just say, Lord, forgive me for my pride. And I know it all belongs to you. I give you the glory and the praise for what you've done in my life. It's a good time to talk to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. I pray that you bless it to every heart. Move as only you can by your Spirit, saving the lost and strengthening your people. And we pray that you bless our church today. In Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?